happen.
Fire it all.
Nothing beats $12 a day parking. Melbourne Airport parking. Make the call. Switch to Kogan Mobile.
Garage doors redefined. 4ddoors.com.au.
Kane and Kingy.
Fire it all. The Friday Agenda.
Yeah, look forward to this each and every Friday. The agenda's packed. You can join in and put something on the agenda on the temper text 0433 98 11 16. It's all thanks to Charlie Battisti & Co, Melbourne's most trusted repairer of prestige German vehicles. I'm going to start this morning, Kingy, because it is Luke Parker's 250th game on Saturday. They play Essendon. We all know what happened in round 9 when, just to refresh the memory, Luke Parker mocked Dylan Shiel for an effort which was not even that bad, to be completely fair, but it sort of blew up and Matthew Lloyd was really critical of the Bombers' response. So what should Essendon do to welcome Luke Parker, if they do anything at all? Let's have a listen to Luke Hodge, who spoke on Waitley during the week about what he would do if he was Essendon.
I'll be showing that vision pre-game. I'll be showing in the team meeting on a Thursday. Would? I'll be showing it pre-game. Yeah. I'll be saying, make sure, don't go and do anything silly. Like, in today's game, you can't go and do dumb stuff to get suspended, but making sure that every time you run past him, he knows you're there. Anytime he's getting the ball, you tack him, you bring him to ground, just to show him that we're not ducking our head. Yes, it was one act, everyone does it at some time, but I'll be making sure that it's the toughest game that he's played in his 250th. Make sure that he notices that next time they play Essendon, they're not going to get walked over, and if he ever disrespects a teammate like that again, we're going to go at him.
It was honestly fascinating. He went on to speak about what Clarko did in the lead up to the 2014 grand final, and you know, replayed some of the stuff from 2012, and spoke about Franklin leaving and how does your family feel on that day, and you know, you want to make them. And then they just remember that 2014 grand final. The game was over 5 minutes in. But I mean, do we trust Essendon to do anything?
Do you trust them to do anything?
And should they do something? Like, do they have long memories? Because the week after that Sydney game, there was all fire and brimstone, wasn't it? They played Richmond. I thought it was a bit, I didn't think it was authentic, the physicality on that day, and it sort of dropped off again. I don't know. Do you think Ben Rutten's referenced it this week?
I think when the coach agrees with Luke Parker in the post-match and says, that's our football club at the moment, not just Dylan Shiel, it's hard to then turn that in to a us versus the world mentality. I think they were too accepting of that. Most clubs and clubs that I've been involved with, they would have rallied against that. We're not happy with that. You want to do that to us? Okay, that's fine. You win today, we see you next time. They didn't do that. They went the other way. Mm. So I don't know if you can then flip it as a, you know, oh, we're going to be so tough today. They're going to be so proud of us. I mean, it's a bit of a nonsense, isn't it, really? He didn't actually duck his head or do anything, Dylan Shiel. That's the irony of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So one of the great sledges of all time, because nothing happened in the build-up to warrant that sort of feedback. I reckon it's a ripper.
Yeah, I just want to see if Essendon do anything, because it's a special day. Hodgie said, yeah, Luke Parker wants to come over, have his family there, a lot of people. He wants to get a nice win, go out for dinner. Let's see if they make life a little bit uncomfortable for him. What do you want to put on the agenda this morning, Kingy?
I just need to play. I can't introduce it. Just play it, please. Just play it.
But I'm telling you, that man there could be the best player in the competition in 3 years' time. I'm telling you, he has attributes to be Christian Petrarca-esque and be the best player in the comp by the time he's 25. He's 22. I don't want to talk about Sam Walsh because I love him and I respect him. I'm just saying that Connor Rosie in 3 years' time could be the best player in the competition.
There's a lot of coulds in there. You love the word could because then you can back out of it in 18 months' time.
I don't usually back out of much.
Oh, hang on. I've heard you argue your way out of everything. What are you talking about?
Do you disagree with it? Like,
yeah, 100%. 100%. Okay. You think you'll be the best player in the comp for a six-week period or eight-week period or half a season or something?
His upside is ginormous. And I clearly watch him pretty closely. He doesn't know how good he can be. And what he's doing at the moment, I think he's going understated a little bit. When Port Adelaide needs someone,
what's he doing special at the moment?
He's influencing games. He turned that game against Gold Coast single-handedly. Now, there's not many players in the comp that can do that. There's a handful, and it's not Boak anymore that Port Adelaide look to when they need someone. It's Marshall and Rosie. And his ability to get in and out of traffic and the speed and power that he plays with centre forward, you know, it's not dissimilar to what Petrarca was doing at 21, 22. That's all I'm saying. So I just think there's ginormous upside. Now, I'm happy to debated. And the thing about this one is, as you found out last week, you'll never get a unanimous verdict on who the best player in the competition is.
No, it's so all you opinion.
It is subjective to it. Now, anyone can have their own opinion. I guess it's a bit of guesswork, a bit of forecasting, a bit of, you know, playing midfield full-time, developing into that role, which he's had no familiarity with doing. Yeah, I just think there's huge upside for him.
My worry is he's not a massive goal kicker.
He won their goal kicking award in his first year.
Yeah, I get that, but this year he hasn't been that. He hasn't been that this year. Oh, he kicked a couple of the last couple of weeks. Like, was he kicked five in 4 weeks as a half forward? And then he's been in the midfield and he's not a 35 disposal getter. So I'm just worried that he's one of those guys that's stuck in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about Zach Bailey and Cam Rayner earlier this morning. Is he better than that?
Oh, he's better player than Cam Rayner. Yeah, 100%.
Okay. All right.
But have you got a thought? I wanted to ask you, like, in 3 years' time. As I said, I put that to Hodge. He said McCluggage. Others will say it's one of the King boys, and you can believe that.
It just worries me that he's a swooping finishing type, not a generator in, grab it and leg drive out goal kicker. That's my concern.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy to be wrong. I love these sorts of players. I'm happy to be wrong, but it's a big call, the best player in the game in 3 years' time. It's a big call. Because the players he's going to have to go past are still going to be Clayton Oliver, Christian Petrarca, that level, you know.
Bontempelli, all of that. Yep. Yeah. I'm happy to debate that. If you've got something you want to debate, put it on the agenda. It's been a bit topical. I think Ralphie wrote an article during the week in the Herald Sun about the new type of rebuild. And it sort of caught my attention a little bit because we've all seen what's happened at North Melbourne where sort of D-list 11, then you D-list 9, and all of a sudden half your group's gone in 2 years and you're where you are now. Similarly at Adelaide and rebuilds, those full-scale, brutal rebuilds in the past that have taken so long. What do you do if you're West Coast Kingy with a lot of senior players? Can it be a reset more than a rebuild? Or do they need to cut savagely like others have done in the past?
It depends what you believe. Do you believe you need to get elite level picks into your footy club to win a flag?
Yes. Because, can you do both?
Well, I don't think you can. You need to. So Geelong have done well to recruit a Patrick Dangerfield who wanted to go back to Moggs Creek. But outside of that,
Jeremy Cameron,
they've done really well. And they've got a uniqueness about them, Geelong, haven't they? They've become a destination club because I think as much about their location and the ability to. It's a little bit like Sydney. It's the Sydney version for Melbourne. You're in town, but you're out of town, if you know what I'm saying. So, look, no one has the answer. There's no right or wrong way to build a list. But there's no point building a list that's capped to finish 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. That's we know. And we've seen a lot of those. So have the Kangaroos done the... I mean, I saw a list of the players they delisted. I know you're big on Trent Dumont.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Mason Wood,
are they going to be the guys that you hang your hat on for the list?
It's not that. It's the damage that it does. No, it's the damage it does to exposing a whole group of young players playing together at once.
Yeah. But that's okay.
You do need some senior players and bigger bodies around you.
No, I don't necessarily agree. I think that...
Look at Taron Thomas. Look at the lack of improvement from their core group now.
But look at the form of the senior core players. It's been awful. Like, if they actually showed the way, like a Tex Walker does, like a Rory Laird does, then you get a chance for these guys to play lesser roles. So when they underperform, it elevates the importance of that next layer of player that's probably not quite there. But that's okay. That's some of the tough learnings. And that made me talk to you about the priority pick discussion. Like, it's okay to not give the Kangaroos a priority pick. I'm not rusted on either way. But if you don't, don't whinge about the crowds not going to the footy next year because they're underperforming. Don't whinge about having to give financial assistance because their sponsorship is not there. Because this is what you're talking about. Unless you give the fans something to watch, you become 1/18th of the business that's underperforming. That becomes a drain on the finances of the whole thing. So we've always had priority picks, and it annoys me because every team that's had success over the last 10 years has had a form of priority pick.
I know you sort of wanted to debate this. I'm not opposed to them getting a priority pick, but you've got to make sure they do the right thing with it.
What do you mean?
Well, bringing Aiden Corr in for 5 years as your marquee signing is the wrong thing to do. He made Darcy Fogarty look like Wayne Carey on the weekend. Like, and this is a guy that was playing Sandful this year. So you've got to make sure that you pick the right people and make the right decisions with that pick. So it's fine that you can give it to them. Make sure you use it correctly. Now, Eddie's thrown up radical things during the week, which I don't necessarily agree with, but you've got to make sure that you've got the right people in place. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with
I don't think that was Eddie's best work, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with their the structure around the list management team, because it's been decimated. We don't need to back over that. But you want to
I'll give you some names, right, of the players that have been taken as priority selections. Luke Shuey and Jack Darling. Jared Roughhead, Xavier Ellis. Dale Thomas. Brett DeLidio, Alex Rance. Adam Cooney, Ryan Griffin. Their names, their picks you can't get wrong. So what we did with the Gold Coast, giving them picks one and two a few years ago, gives them a chance.
So there's different versions of the priority pick. There's a straight up bang, they're going to get one, so you'd give them two as well.
Well, there's a watered down version. So it's the old, we want to help you, we want to make you better, but we don't want to give you that good a player.
So
we'll give you someone
so how
20.
Would Adam Simpson be feeling about that, though? Or West Coast?
They got Shuey and Jack Darling a few years ago.
They're just as much of a mess this year as what
they've enjoyed the spoils of the priority selections already. Mm. You can't whack someone for getting it.
Are you going to sell that to them, though? Are you going to sell that to West Coast? Hang on, because you've had some success. You're not going to get the second best player in the country.
I don't mind if you don't, but don't whinge about the Kangaroos being 18th, 18th, 17th, 12th and 9th the last 5 years and saying, we're not going to help them anymore. They've created this. There's not a rebuild that's ever been done that the club didn't create for themselves. So this nonsense that you delisted too many players is ridiculous. Name me a rebuild that wasn't caused by that club themselves.
He's strong. He's passionate, which we love. Let's open up the phone lines and go to Geelong. Luke, you want to speak about the Clayton Oliver deal? Did you like it?
No, I'm pretty happy with the deal for Melbourne. But my question to you two is, if you're Sam Walsh's manager now, or your Austin from Carlton, how does that conversation go? Oliver's just signed a mega deal for a long time, and you've got a future star of the competition coming out of contract. Is that a zero on Sam Walsh's contract?
Well, that's what's happened, really. I mean, it's a copycat industry. You know, Stephen Cornelio gets 7, Josh Kelly wants 9, and that's just what happens. And that's the position that the clubs put themselves in, and that's what happened with Petrarca. He gets 7, Oliver goes, I want 8. That's just what happens, unfortunately. Matt's on the line. What'd you make of it, Matt?
Hey guys, how you going?
Good.
I think it's a great contract for both parties because, you kept on comparing it to the Hanbury one. It's chalk and cheese to Dan Hanbury. He's shown that he's durable. He's shown that he can play through injury. He's 24. He's earned that one thing. And the other thing is, with both him and Petrarca on long-term deals, they can wait it at different times of the long-term to give some flexibility as well.
Mm. He's missed 2 games in 7 years.
I know, we've got short memories though. Hanbury, 21, 24, 25, 24, 19, 24, 26, 23
up.
Games. Same age.
No, he was banged up when they bought him St Kilda.
I know, but at the same age as Clayton Oliver, Dan Hanbury had hardly missed a game.
That was a dud deal from the moment they signed it. Sydney were thrilled. They couldn't sign it quick enough.
Let's get to our man Nathan Brown, who often loved a long-term deal from Sportsbet.